Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I've chosen to entitle our lesson today, and also for the next program, The Greatness of Humility, The Greatness of a Humble Heart. Now, greatness and humility, they may not seem to be, well, ought to be on the same discussion. They seem to be at cross purposes. But I hope that we can discover that humility is really a quality of greatness. And we want to look at the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures has to say about this quality of humility. And we're going to begin by looking at Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, and that's among the apostles, which of them should be the greatest? And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set it by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. Now there was a discussion among the apostles as to who was going to be the greatest. Christ had already told them that he was going away. But after he left, who would be the greatest among them? Now, why this was important was it's really difficult to try to imagine. Except it looks like the apostles mistakenly perceived that the kingdom might be an earthly kingdom, and if so, they sought to have rank and power in that kingdom. Now, while Jesus was with them, there wasn't any question as to who would be the greatest. He was the greatest. He was the Savior. He was the leader. Do they not betray, however, a certain personal ambition? And this ambition provoked strife and jealousy among them. Now, this had been a problem before, when James and John, at the request of their mother, had sought chief places for them in the kingdom, Matthew chapter 20. Well, that caused jealousy among the apostles, and they wondered how that was going to be turned out. Jesus called unto them, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Now notice, here's the burden of his message. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever shall be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, since these apostles were discussing the chief places, they were asking who would be the greatest. And the answer that they heard from Christ was not exactly what they had expected. You know, just parenthetically, let me insert this thought. This would have been a perfect time, would it not, for Jesus to have announced about the office of a pope, and maybe even that Peter would be the pope? But he didn't do any such thing. In fact, nowhere in Scripture do we have the authority for the existence of an office of a pope. And certainly the Apostle Peter was not the first pope. The first pope was not even designated until the year 606 A.D. And so that was not one of them things that Christ wanted to emphasize when he was going to be, who was going to be chief among them. But it's obvious that the answer that these apostles heard from Christ, that wasn't the kind of answer that they had expected. But he perceived their thoughts and did not have to openly ask what they were even discussing. He already knew what they were discussing. He taught being great was a matter of the heart. It was a matter of the spirit. It was a matter of the inner man. It required rendering service. To be great, one must be humble. Jesus pointed that out in Matthew 20. Honor follows humility, friend. God does not really determine one's greatness. Each one does that for himself and herself, of course, according to the standards of God. Each one will determine whether he's humble or whether he's not humble. Now, Jesus took a child. He illustrated humility. There's something about a child that's so commendable. He's without pride. He doesn't have selfish ambitions. He's not always trying to be the most notable among everybody. But a child is sincere. And a child is dependent. A child is innocent. A child is subject to authority. And a child can be governed. And a child does not hold grudges. You know, two children can be quarreling one minute and playing together the next. They don't hold grudges like adults do. Jesus teaches such is the nature of those who would be in his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 18, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he taught humility, and he demonstrated humility. Did he not demonstrate humility when he washed the feet of his disciples there in the upper room, when they were to observe the last Passover feast at the occasion when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper? This was just prior to his crucifixion. Usually the washing of feet was a task that a servant would do. But Jesus took on the form of a servant. The others would not assume that task, but he did, according to John chapter 13. Now there is a difference between being childish and being childlike. One reflects immaturity. The other reflects humility. And we are to avoid the one and strive to imitate the other. Now, Philippians chapter 2 tells us something about our Lord, and it certainly teaches us the subject of humility. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, we read, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, notice now, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just here, I think it's worthwhile to note, humility preceded his obedience to do the will of the Father. That's the case with us too, dear friend. But now it is Christ and what Christ has done to save man from his sins that he left heaven, he came to this earth, he lowered himself to take on the form of humanity, he was humiliated beyond description. But his humility led him to obey the will of the Father. Is it not true then? Humility precedes obedience. You know, the proud, they just do not obey. Humility goes before obedience. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of those who were poor in spirit. He was thinking of those who were humble. The humble person knows his limitations. He knows he has limitations. He knows he's not self-sufficient. He does not seek the prominence over all others, and he is dependent on God. It's not that we are sufficient of ourselves, Paul said, to think of anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. In Romans chapter 12, in the third verse, Paul teaches us not to think oneself more highly of oneself than he ought to think. Now, this is a pit into which we're all very susceptible to fall. Thinking too highly of ourselves, and that because of our pride. The way we see some people fight, and they scratch and push and shove in order to hold high places and to be the most prominent, that betrays their obsession to be seen of others, to have power. They do all kind of things to attract attention. In 3 John, the 9th verse, we read about a man. His name was Diotrephes. Diotrephes had this spiritual malady. He loved to have the preeminence among the disciples. And Christ rebuked the Pharisees because of their ambition for the chief seats, notoriety, wearing of titles, seeking the praise of men, doing things to be noticed, presenting themselves to be superior. That was characteristic of them. Now, the Lord does not demean ambition or self-respect, but not at the expense and the lack of consideration of others. Some attempted to just climb over one another in order to reach what they think is the top. They seek primacy among men, even if others are hurt as they seek that position. Now, we all aim high to be Christians, but at what do we aim? Being a Christian, that's the highest calling. And in whose eye do we seek greatness? You know, it was said of John the Baptist before his birth, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord," Luke 1 and verse 15. Now, friend, that's the only true greatness that really matters. You may be great before the nation, before the congregation, before the community, before the world. But that's not the kind of greatness that really is success. It's greatness in the eyes of God. If we live our lives and are not great in the sight of God, we have lived a life that is amiss. We've missed the purposes of our existence. We should be humble. We should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We need to look to the welfare of others. Has not Christ taught us that being a servant to others, humbling ourselves to render benefit to others, that is a mark of true greatness, dear friend. Well, we're going to talk about this some more. In our next lesson, we'll drive down a peg right here on this subject, the greatness of humility. Be with us as we listen tomorrow and study tomorrow on that subject. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.